Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about minimum effective doses for strength. This is important for CrossFitters who are often doing concurrent training. They have multiple training priorities, pursuing some combination of strength and endurance at the same time. So your training effort is even more scarce of a resource to produce gains. So knowing your minimum effective doses allows athletes and coaches to maximize the return on the effort that you're putting into any one training priority. MED is just the minimum training dose to produce meaningful gains. So if you imagine a diminishing returns curve, minimum effective dose would be the training dose at which point you start experiencing meaningful gains in that training priority. So how do MEDs help athletes, especially athletes who are doing concurrent training, maximize gains? Well, the first way is they leave more energy expenditure for other training priorities. So if you imagine training each training priority with its own minimum effective dose, then in theory, you could experience meaningful adaptations in multiple training priorities at the same time, provided that you are supported in your recovery, you're in a good physiological environment in terms of your energy intake. And at some point, every type of training elicits diminishing returns. So if you, like I said, imagine a diminishing returns curve, at some point, your training effort is going to produce less and less in terms of gains. So MEDs help athletes hit that sweet spot before the gains level off, but while the gains are still meaningful. Once your minimum effective dose is achieved, the remaining energy expenditure can go toward other training priorities. So that's the first way that it can help CrossFit athletes and other multidisciplinary athletes, hybrid and tactical athletes, maximize their gains. MEDs also prevent undertraining. So if you're doing the minimum effective dose, then it's very unlikely that you won't experience meaningful gains in that training priority, provided that, like I said, you're recovering, so you're supported in terms of your lifestyle, and you're in a good physiological environment in terms of your energy intake. So MEDs help ensure that athletes get gains, meaning the increase in the performance metric that they're tracking, which in the case of the study that I'll get to was 1RM squat, bench, and deadlift, and prevent undertraining. Third one is longevity. So the goal is to accumulate as much training as you can recover from over a career, not a single mesocycle. More training effort or higher doses of training reliably produce more adaptations in short-term studies. So if they have athletes max out every day, then that will work for a certain amount of time and you will get more gains that way. Similarly, on the hypertrophy side, they've done studies where they have athletes perform 30 or 40 sets per muscle group per week within proximity of failure, and that reliably produces more hypertrophy than 6 to 20 sets per week, which is the typical recommendation. But the limitation of those studies is that they're not longitudinal, meaning they're not performed over lengths of time that athletes really care about, which is multiple mesocycles, multiple macrocycles, and ultimately a multiple year career. So clinical and personal experience indicates that those sorts of volumes or those sorts of training loads are beyond most athletes' ability to recover if repeated in multiple mesocycles. So great for a 6-week study, not so great for actual clinical and personal experience. Finding your maximum recoverable volume, so this is the other end of the spectrum. If you imagine minimum effective dose on one end of the spectrum and maximum recoverable volume on the other end of the spectrum, it would be the opposite end. And one way to progress over a mesocycle would be to start at your minimum effective dose and progress to your maximum recoverable volume over 3 to 6 weeks. So that is one way to progress inside of a mesocycle. Okay, so what are the minimum effective doses for strength? How little can you actually do and still get stronger? So this was a collection of multiple studies, and what they found was 3 to 6 working sets of 1 to 5 repetitions per week per lift, 1 to 3 sessions per week per lift, and I'll get to frequency of each lift here in a second. And working sets were anything above 80% of 1RM or an RPE of 7.5 to 9.5. So if you do that for 6 to 12 weeks, then you can expect to gain 1RM strength in your squat, bench, and deadlift. Again, provided that you are in a good physiological environment for gains, meaning you're probably not in a chronic energy deficit, and you're supported in terms of your sleep, mainly. If you're using near maximal loads, so if you wanted to train even less than that, you could just do one very close to near maximal set. If you do that, you can expect some gains, not as much if you do the protocol I said before, but the addition of 2 to 3 back off sets at around 80% of whatever you did for that single repetition may produce greater adaptations. And then as far as frequency, you're looking at a 2-3-1 squat, bench, deadlift weekly training frequency. So to go over that again, you're squatting twice a week, you're benching 3 times a week, and you're deadlifting once a week. Now, think of these numbers, guys, as landmarks. So there's going to be individual difference one way or the other. But if you're significantly below these, then I wouldn't expect to see meaningful gains in either your squat, bench, or deadlift if you're well below these numbers. And if you're way beyond these numbers, then I also might expect to see some issues with recovery. So to go back through, 3 to 6 working sets of 1 to 5 repetitions per week per lift. So 3 to 6 working sets, 1 to 5 repetitions per set. And then you're going to split that up over 1 to 3 sessions per week. Ideal frequency would be 2-3-1 squat, bench, deadlift. And then a working set is 80% of your 1RM, or RPEs of 7.5 to 9.5. Okay, and then as far as accessory work, powerlifting athletes typically utilize 1 to 3 accessory exercises per powerlift at an RPE in the range of 7 to 9, and they typically use, in terms of hypertrophy, what are lower rep ranges. So typically 6 to 10 reps per set. This is my note. As far as number of sets, you're looking at 6 to 20 per muscle group per week. That is just general best practice. 6 would be your minimum effective dose, and 20 is very close to maximum recoverable volume, or it's at least a good landmark for maximum recoverable volume for most people. Like I said before, is it possible for you to do more training than that and still positively adapt? Yes, probably, for a set amount of time, but if we're talking about accumulating as much training as you can recover from over a career rather than over a mesocycle, then 6 to 20 sets per muscle group per week is a good volume guideline for accessory work. Okay, so if you're doing that, then you can probably still incorporate other training and still see good gains in your strength, meaningful gains in your strength. Now, in my other podcasts, I talk about concurrent training and what the best practices are for structuring your conditioning. And at what point, at what dose of conditioning, whether it's high intensity or low intensity, and the doses for those, the minimum effective doses for those are very, very different. And the doses at which conditioning will attenuate your strength gains are very, very different based upon whether you're doing low intensity or high intensity. So go back and listen to the concurrent training review where I go in depth on volume, mode, frequency, intensity, etc. for your conditioning. And if you combine that with this approach, your minimum effective dose for strength, then you've got a pretty good concurrent training program if you do that. And you can still, depending on your training age and conditioning, either if you're beginner or intermediate, you could probably still make gains in your conditioning while making gains in your strength. And the more advanced you get, the harder those gains are going to be to come by. So to review, if you combine the minimum effective dose for strength in a concurrent training program with the conditioning guidelines from my previous podcast, which to brief review, if you're doing low intensity, it's probably 3 or 4 zone 2 sessions per week. If you're doing low intensity, no more than 45 minutes per session. As you start to go beyond that, you make a muscle glycogen depleted state more likely, which is not beneficial for strength. and recovering from your strength training and adapting to it. If you're doing high intensity, then it is 4 to 10 minutes per session, and the dose is anywhere from 2 to 6 sessions per week. We don't know exactly how much, but bottom line is if you're testing and retesting and your strength is improving nicely, then keep going. And if it's not, then you may be either in an energy deficit, so you may need to eat more, or you may need to reduce the effort that you're putting into your other training priorities so that you can make meaningful gains in your strength. Okay, guys, I hope this helps you make strength gains. Do it on a concurrent training program. Again, go back and listen to that last episode from earlier this week if you want to know how to structure your conditioning. Please rate the podcast. If you're listening, if you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe, and I will see you guys in the next episode.